Thank you, Jerry, for reading for us from Jeremiah's prophecy. The days are coming, says the Lord. I think that's fitting for us today, especially of all days. There's a lot of heaviness in the air. Can you feel it? Leanne said it well in our corporate prayer time today. There's a lot of heaviness out there. Hearts are heavy. Things are not the way they should be in a lot of situations. We grieve, we mourn, we are sad, and that's fair, and that's right. That's how we're wired, and it's okay for us to feel that way. But Jeremiah says, the days are coming. The days are coming, says the Lord, when he will send a righteous branch to grow up out of the stump of Jesse, who will be the ruler of all things, who will be the redeemer of all things. The days are coming, says Jeremiah. Now, we have a different perspective in terms of the time sequence. We wouldn't say the days are coming today for that. We would say the days have already come. The day has come when that righteous branch grew. The one who would bring righteousness and justice, who would act justly and act fairly and righteously. That righteous branch, we understand, is Jesus Christ. The days have come when he came. And that has changed the world from that point forward, so that the sorrow that we feel, the pain that we feel, is not so much sorrow without hope, but it is so much sorrow with hope. We have witnessed this week, some of us more closely than others, the death of Jaden Lamb and his funeral yesterday at Messiah Lutheran, just down the road from here. Just a symbol of all of the heaviness that we have as a people right now. His witness, his testimony, is one that is incredibly powerful. And several of our boys, our young boys, have known him for a long time as a part of their Cub Scout groups and school and whatnot. So they're very much affected by this, and that's okay. That's the way it should be. We should be in relationship with each other and struggle with things like this from time to time when they come up. That's all right. The good news of this season is that hope in Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. Jaden's hope was in Jesus Christ, is in Jesus Christ. We believe that Jaden knows Christ, maybe even more fully now than he did just a few days ago. This is something that we cling to, something that we claim as a principle of our faith, as something that's so crucial for what we believe, that helps us make it through these times that are so heavy for us. It's with all of that context in mind, all of that heaviness of heart that is almost palpable today, that I come before you with a word from the Lord that is a little bit lighter. It has a little bit lighter feel to it because it's about a birthday party. You see the party hat here on the screen, and I'll read the sermon text here a little bit later. So hang on, we're not out of sync just a little bit. We're doing things a little bit differently than normal. A party hat. Happy birthday. Now, whose birthday might this be referring to? Of course, it's referring to Jesus's. If you were thinking it was referring to mine, you might be sort of right, but not really. My birthday, in case you were curious, was 3 days ago. It was this past Thursday. And thank you, Lawrence. I appreciate that. That's fine. I'm not really looking for that. But I mention that only because it makes me think of the only birthday party I ever had as a child. You have to understand, in my upbringing, in my family, we weren't very much party people. We didn't throw parties, we didn't have people over, we just were homebodies. We maybe went to other people's places from time to time, but it just wasn't in our makeup to throw parties for birthdays. But my mother said, I remember her, she said it to my brother and me, as we were growing up, you get to pick 1 year, and that's your birthday year, or your birthday party year. You have birthdays every year. But you have to pick which year you want to have your birthday party on, and we'll throw it and you'll have a grand old time. I said, okay. I don't remember when my brother picked, but I picked the year when I turned 7 years old. I remember this. 26 years, you can do the calculations now, 26 years and 3 days ago, I had my birthday party. It was at McDonald's, the McDonald's that was close to us at in Anderson there. We played beanbag toss and all these other dumb kinds of games. They're not dumb, they're fun kinds of games that seven-year-olds play. I don't remember who was there. I imagine it was my friends from school, maybe friends from church too. I don't remember anybody who was there. And I kind of wish now that I'm an adult, now that I've left home and I kind of look back on my childhood, I wish that I had waited a little bit longer. You know what I mean? I wish that I had waited until maybe I was 17 to have the birthday party, because then I might remember the people who were there. Who do you invite to a birthday party? When I was 7, I invited the kids who were in my class. And I don't remember a single one of them anymore. I can remember maybe some names, but I'm not in contact with them. If I had waited until maybe I was in high school, I might have had a better shot at having meaningful friendships, who, you know, people that I actually knew and really cared about as I was growing up, and people that I might have a good chance of staying in touch with later on. Have you ever had a birthday party? Thrown a birthday party for yourself or for someone else? Who do you invite to a birthday party? Your family members, of course, neighbors, friends, coworkers. Are there people that you don't invite? You don't have to name names. I'm not asking you to. We're not looking for that kind of honesty today. But sure, there are people that you would rather not celebrate your birthday party with. That's only natural. Christmas, of course, is a birthday party. This is what we celebrate here. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, something that is not something in the future, but something that's in the past, just like we celebrate our own birthdays, not something that's, of course, in the future. It's something that we remember and celebrate once again. This birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of that hope that Pastor Jerry read from Jeremiah 33, that a righteous branch would come from the line of David, a king who would do what is just, a king who would do what is right, a king that would save Judah, a king that would protect Jerusalem. In Jeremiah's day, that's the people of God. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament days to the people of Judah, the capital city of which was Jerusalem. This is the remaining people of God, and God is very interested in these folks, and yet they're very sinful. They always are turning from him. So Jeremiah comes as a prophet saying, someday there will come a king who will save Judah, who will protect Jerusalem. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet when Judah and Jerusalem were being conquered by the Babylonians. He was a prophet before, during, and after the time of the conquest of Judah, when Judah finally fell as a nation. He witnessed it all. And so he knew very clearly what it meant to say, someday God will provide someone to save us, because our current king isn't doing that. Do you know who the current king was? The last of the kings of Judah? His name was Zedekiah. Zedekiah. The suffix "iah" is from the word Adonai. It means Lord. It's pointing to God. So Jeremiah, Zedekiah, Hezekiah, all those "iahs" have something to do with God. And the prefix then tells you something about what that name means. You know what Zedek means? Righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Zedekiah, the name of the last king of Judah. And what does Jeremiah say about this coming righteous branch from the line of David who will really finally protect Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem, save the people of God? His name will be the Lord our righteousness. Zedekiah. Because our current Zedekiah isn't doing the job. It's a promise of future restoration in the midst of turmoil in the present tense. This, I think, speaks most clearly to us today as we feel this sort of heaviness of heart. In the midst of present conflict, present turmoil, present sadness, there is always the hope of future restoration for those who are in Christ. So we see this promise of Jeremiah's, the promise of the Lord's, spoken through Jeremiah, fulfilled through the birth of Jesus, the one whose birthday we celebrate every year. We throw a birthday party, so to speak. We light birthday candles. How about that? One a week, we'll light an Advent candle to remember the birth of Christ, the coming of Jesus into the world. We celebrate by throwing a party of sorts. So who do we invite to the party? Friends, family, neighbors? Are there people you would not invite to the party to celebrate Jesus' birth? Let's think for a moment about the birth of Jesus itself and who celebrated right then and there. Who was invited to that birthday party, the one where Jesus was actually born? Well, let's take a look. Who do we have here on our nativity scene? Well, first there were angels. They were sort of the announcers of the birthday of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. They had been celebrating ever since all creation. They worship God in His presence all the time. They especially celebrated, we don't have any angels in this scene, that's okay. They especially celebrated when Jesus was born. So who did they announce the birth of Jesus to? Shepherds. You're so smart. Look at this. We have a shepherd right here. Can I move him around? Is that okay? I'll try not to drop him. Nice shepherd here. Who were the shepherds? They were watching in their fields, yeah? They were nice, clean-shaven, brown-haired, blue-eyed young men. Isabella, you might ask him out on a date, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. No, they were pretty low in society. Shepherds were. They were dirty. They were out in the fields with sheep. And from what I understand, sheep are not always the cleanest of animals, not always the pleasantest to be around. These were working fellas who were not very wealthy. They did not have much money. They were not looked highly upon by anybody in society. They were kind of outsiders, in a sense. They were what?
They were poor and smelly.
They were poor and smelly and dirty. Ugh. They were invited to the birthday party. How about that? Who else was invited to the birthday party of Jesus? Kings, wise men. We have three of them here. I'll just pick up, let's see, the tallest one because I'm tall. Okay, so you can see it better too. We don't really know much about these fellas. We don't really even know that there were three of them. They had three gifts. And so we think there probably were three anyway. They can each carry a gift. But there were wise men, and they traveled from afar. They were from the east, maybe present-day Iraq or present-day Iran, somewhere in that neck of the woods. They traveled. Maybe they walked. Maybe they rode camels. Maybe they traveled in a big pack of wise men. They traveled from afar to visit this boy who had been born. Now, it comes in a different part of the story of Jesus' birth. It comes from a different gospel. We sort of imagine everything happened all at once, but probably these folks visited when Jesus was a couple of years old, because they lived in the house then and not in the... They weren't traveling in the stable. Anyway, all that's neither here nor there. What do we know about the kings? But the wise men... Well, they're very rich, aren't they? Contrasted to the shepherds. They're very rich. They're wealthy. They have these expensive gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, these things that are not cheap, things that are very expensive to purchase. They're also foreigners. They're not Jews. They're not Israelites. They're from afar. They're not people like us. They have come to see Jesus because they have understood that He is the Savior. Not just the Savior of the Jews, not just the Savior of the people of God in Israel, but the Savior of the people of God in all nations. They understand that this is a Savior who has come for all sorts of people, not just for the people of Israel. Outsiders, like the shepherds were outsiders, but very much unlike them in that they're very wealthy and come from a different class, so to speak. But they come from a place that is outside what you might expect. Who might you expect to be invited to the birth of Jesus, the celebration of the birth of Jesus? Maybe the people who were most faithful in going to church in maybe the temple, the Pharisees, the priests, the Sadducees, the folks who were always there later picking on Jesus because they didn't understand him. You might have expected that God would take the faithful ones and show them his Messiah, but no, he showed someone completely different. People that you wouldn't expect who the Messiah was. Who is invited to the party? More people than you might expect. Different people than you might expect. The truth about this party, this Advent season, is that we celebrate not just the birth of Jesus, but we also celebrate his coming in the future. We celebrate in the season of Advent his coming in the past in the stable in Bethlehem. And we also celebrate his coming in the future at a time to be determined later by us, to be realized later by us, a time to be made known and a place to be made known in a way to be made known to us later. There's a past tense and there is a future tense to our hope in Advent. There's a past tense and a future tense to our hope in the Christmas season. You see, the Christian faith is like that. The Christian faith is not just a past-looking thing, and it's not just a future-looking thing, but it's both. We do remember the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ that occurs in the past. And we look forward to his return at the end of the age, when he comes in glory, the second coming of Christ, where all things will be made right, finally. Our faith is not just a past-looking event where we look at the trials that we have experienced in the past or the sorrows that we have experienced in the past, the people who have died that we miss terribly. We don't just leave them in the past and remember that they're gone. But in Christ, we remember that those who have departed from us are waiting for us to celebrate Christ with us in the resurrection. We have hope, not just for comfort in the present, but real, honest hope for restoration in the future. There's a comic strip that always comes to mind when I think about past and future kinds of things. It comes from Peanuts, Charles Schulz's Peanuts, right? Charlie Brown and Lucy they're talking about going on a cruise ship. And Lucy says to Charlie Brown, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who like to have their deck chairs on the cruise ship facing backwards so they can see where they've been. And the other kind of people in the world are those who like to have their deck chairs facing forward off the bow of the ship so they can see where they're going. What kind of person do you think you are, Charlie Brown? And Charlie Brown says to her, I'm the kind of person that can't even get my deck chair open. You know how Charlie Brown is. What kind of person are you? Are you a back of the ship looking backward sort of person? Are you the front of the ship looking to see what lies ahead kind of person? Most of us probably fall into one or the other of those categories. There's probably some truth to Peanuts. But the truth of the gospel is we should have our eyes in both directions. We should remember the past and we should remember the future. Christmas is a celebration of things that have gone by, and it is a celebration of things that will yet be. This is what the hymn that the small group here sang just a minute ago, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. This is what that hymn is all about. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Well, he came already. Why do we keep singing this song? Because he hasn't come back yet. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus has both meanings in mind. Born to set his people free, and yet he is coming again to set us free for good, for all eternity. At this point in the year, we often think about this birthday party, this celebration, the story of Jesus in Bethlehem. That one's the fun one to celebrate. We don't often think about that party at this time of year. that party that lies in the future, the one when Christ returns. And I think the reason for that is the language of Scripture is kind of scary when it comes to talking about that particular party. We understand parties to be happy and joyful and pleasant and sentimental kinds of experiences. But when we think about the return of Christ at the end of the age, this is what we're learning in our Sunday evening Revelation study, sometimes the language there is kind of frightening, because the return of Christ is really kind of a scary thing. He comes not just to win, but he comes to judge. He comes to separate. He comes to accept some and turn others away because they have turned him away. It's a scary time, but we celebrate it in this time of the year as well. Who is invited to that party? The party when Jesus returns and he achieves his ultimate victory, completes the work of redemption, and undertakes the task of judging. Who's invited to that party? Hear these words from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Start in verse 25 and finish at the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Who's invited to that party? The way Jesus says it, everybody. Not everybody comes to celebrate, but everybody comes to the party. Everybody will see the Savior when he returns. So always be on your watch, Jesus says. His final return will be made known to everyone, whether they have accepted him or not. Scary words. Come, thou long expected Jesus, is a really powerful and dangerous kind of thing to ask, because it carries such heavy implications for those who know him and for those who don't. Our call as believers in Christ is to honestly celebrate this Advent season, this time when we remember the birth of Jesus, our Savior. Without his birth, none of the rest of this could have happened. His life wouldn't have happened, his ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, the growth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this time in which we live, and his return at the end of the age. None of that could have happened if Jesus had not been born. So we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But we also celebrate his return with eyes wide open, understanding what it means. The return of Christ is a monumental occasion. It is when all things will be made right, when our Zedekiah will come, the Lord our righteousness will come and will act justly and righteously and will bring about righteousness in our world, will transform. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, John in Revelation says. It will transform everything that there is and will raise us up into newness of life, into resurrected bodies that will no longer know sorrow and pain and sickness and cancer and disease and trouble and hardship. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. As we celebrate this Advent season, let us always remember to celebrate what is yet to come, the return of Christ. Let us stand up and lift up our heads, as Jesus encouraged his disciples to do, speaking clearly the truth about Jesus, the truth about salvation in his name, the truth about his forgiveness and his love. Let us not be weighed down, as Jesus cautioned his disciples, weighed down by a world that seeks to discourage us in many ways. Jesus said, don't be weighed down with dissipation. That's a $10 word you have to look up. Drunkenness, it's like a hangover, dissipation is. Don't be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, the anxieties of life. Oh, now we know what he's talking about. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with those, Jesus says. The world seeks to do that to us in many different ways through all of these terrible things that we know and experience, the cancers and the deaths and whatnot, and through the misunderstanding of Christ that the world has applied to us. What's Christmas really all about anyway? It's not about gifts. It's not about nativities. It's about Christ being born into the world and Christ being born into our lives. Don't be weighed down by these things, but instead, let's throw a tremendous birthday party for Jesus and for everyone to attend. He has invited all people to attend this party, whether we like them or not. Who should we invite to this birthday party? Maybe we should take a lesson from the shepherds and the wise men, the people that we didn't expect to find at that party. Those are exactly the ones whom those angels and the stars in the sky brought to the manger at Bethlehem. So should we have our eyes as wide open to introduce people to Christ through how we live. Sharing the gospel of Jesus with people in very tangible ways and through reaching out to each other and to people in our community in very tangible ways. Let's pray together as we close. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for your word, which endures forever, which is always true, which speaks into our world. We thank you, Lord, for the birth of Jesus, which is so meaningful for us and which causes us to celebrate so much. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise of his return at the end of the age. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts even now for that return, for that coming, whenever it may be, if it's in our lifetimes or after we too pass away. Lord, we pray that you would continue the work of salvation in our hearts. Continue to draw us close to yourself and reassure us of your presence, even in these heavy days, even in these difficult times, so that we too might know the joy of Christ being born into our world. Help us, Lord, to reach out to each other and to the world around us so that there might be no question about who we serve in this season. It's certainly not our own selves through the receiving of gifts, but it is you that we serve through the giving of ourselves to you and to those around us. Bless us, O Lord, as we go our various ways this week, and help us to always be mindful of the celebration, the twofold celebration, and of whom we should invite to this ultimate birthday party. In Jesus' name we pray.